Discover insights to boost your business or improve your quality of life right here on the Soar to Success podcast with your host, Pat Altvater.
Welcome back to the Soar to Success podcast. Every month, we interview the expert who's on the cover of our Soar to Success magazine that month. And today, my guest is resiliency coach, Dr. Penny Kowal. I know you will just love meeting her. Welcome to the podcast, Penny.
Well, thank you. It's just delightful to be here with you this morning, Pat. Your voice sounds so fun and inviting.
Thanks, and I'm excited for our audience to hear what you have to say. So let's go ahead and get started. Why don't you tell us what you do, and then more importantly, why do you do it?
Okay. Well, I'm a resilience coach, and I do this because this has been one of the biggest life lessons that I have learned, and I want to be able to help others with this process of being able to bounce back from all of the unpredictability that life offers us, every one of us that has unpredictable things that happen. And I certainly have had my share, and I think I've learned a great deal, and I'm so loving the idea and the opportunity to support people as they really actually become who they've come here to be and do the things that they want to do with their lives and do the things they love to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are so right about everyone has this at some point in their life. And then just when you think you're on a really great even keel, boom, something else happens. So those skills that you teach people are so important. So how do people find out about you?
Well, I've really enjoyed making the videos that appear through Biz TV shows. That's one way. A lot of my clients find me through word of mouth. They have a friend that's been a client of mine. I belong to a lot of different networking groups. It's a very varied kind of way. There's never one clear path that everybody follows. There's just lots of opportunities for people to get to know me.
And you can work with people in any area because you do work on the phone. Is that correct?
Oh, the phone, and I also use Skype. And
okay.
Yes, I've had clients all over the United States, and I have a person in Europe right now who's considering whether they want to be my client. So there's quite a diversity of people that I've had an opportunity to be able to support.
Wow, then you could say you're an internationally known coach, right?
Here, that's right.
So tell us how you got started.
Well, you know, I think it's kind of an interesting story. I guess my first deep understanding of being resilient in the face of unpredictable things in life was brought about by the fact that I raised my three sons as a single parent, and they were 2, 4, and 6 when we started that journey. I never thought that would happen to me, but it did, and there were certainly a lot of ups and downs raising three boys by myself, but nevertheless, they have turned out to be wonderful. We have 10 grandchildren, and we're so blessed with all of our grandkids and all of the things they are involved in. But at that point, I thought that resilience was more about grit and stamina, which certainly that's a part of being resilient. Because it just seemed like there were always interesting dilemmas that a different son would get into, and it would call for different skill sets and different understandings to help them grow through that. But we made it. We made it. And along the way, I had planned to be done with my PhD by the time the last one graduated from high school, and we made that one too. Because that was another opportunity for me to show that I am resilient and for me to be able to do the things that I wanted to do in life. So I learned a great deal about how you balance different parts of your life and how you just persist. At that point, I was seeing resilience as basically persisting and having stamina and seeing things through. And of course, that's a part of it. So as I went on, what I saw about resilience, I was a professor at the university, and I was on a tenure track. And unpredictably, things occurred, and I had a stroke, which I can see now was stress-related. And a lot of times, that's what we deal with when we're being resilient, is stress. And so it became really interesting for me to find out more and more about how we can deal with stress in a healthy way. Because there is good stress. There is definitely good stress. And just deeper understanding of bouncing back and achieving the things you wanted to achieve and doing what you wanted to do in that context. And then coaching found me. Well, I just started hearing more about coaching, and I was invited to take part in my training program by a benefactor who thought it would be just perfect for me and offered me scholarships. And who am I to turn down a great scholarship, you know?
Yeah, right.
Got an opportunity to get into the coaching world and could see that there were other ways of defining resilience in a deeper way, that it's really about staying in touch with who you really are and rediscovering your center when life sends you on a journey that where you kind of lose yourself. That often happens, I think, for people who want to learn more about their capacity to be resilient, is how to come back to center, how to remember who you are in the midst of the chaos and the unpredictability and the different things that happen to us, which are not what we like many times. But nevertheless, coming back to center and remembering who you really are is very important. And that's what coaching is all about, is looking forward to the future. The past is the past. The past is done. And I think a lot of times, at least I'm working with a client now who has a lot of trouble with post-traumatic stress, and it's a matter of waking up in the middle of the night for him and remembering the chaos where he was at. I think it was Afghanistan or someplace like that. So we talk about how that's past, and our brain often wants to hijack us. We have sort of a brain that has a negativity bias. And so part of helping people be resilient is to just understand their own human physiology a little bit deeper and how they can work with that. So there's a lot of facets to being resilient and to building your capacity to be resilient. And I'm just having the time of my life helping people see for themselves what that can be, that those understandings can bring to them.
Yeah. And so do you think your background as a professor has helped you to be a better coach?
I don't know. I suppose in some ways, because it attuned me to a lot of the differences in people. Being a teacher, I was a preschool teacher, I was a high school teacher, a middle school teacher. I've taught French and music and had my own school for a while when the kids were very young. So it really does expose you to so many different kinds of people. Coaching is a little different from, there's an aspect of coaching that's about teaching people new things, but it's more about supporting people to be who they truly are and to accept their own gifts and talents and see themselves as truly unique with something to give that only they can give to the world.
Yeah. Right.
So it's a little bit different.
Right. Okay. So I understand that you're married now, though, from reading your bio. Is that, have you been married? Have you been married for a while?
Yeah. Frank and I have been married now almost 30 years. And,
oh, my goodness.
We can't figure out how that happened.
I know. Just yesterday, right?
30 years. Oh, my God. But in fact, I had a client ask me yesterday, how in the world, he said, given the way life is today in the world, how did you manage to stay together for 30 years? Because most people, or I won't say most, I think many people, let that partnership go a little bit sooner because for various reasons. I don't know exactly what, but I think my answer to the question was we both see the best in each other, and there are times when we may not show up the way that we truly are, but we still remember that besides how we might be showing up in any given situation, we know who we are in our hearts. And my husband's a very generous, warm-hearted, kind person who loves animals and loves kids and has a lot of fun talking to people. He's an extrovert. Me, I'm an introvert. This interview this morning is unusual for me to be doing this much talking because I usually listen. I listen very well to people.
So what do you hope for your future with your business? Like, what's your vision for your company?
That's a great question. My vision for my company is that I will be able to help as many people as possible from a variety of cultures and a variety of work settings see that they have a capacity to be resilient. I'm working with educators quite a bit, and they influence the future. I love working with teachers and principals because we can bring these self-regulation tools, and our kids so need them right now. They need stability, and many times school is the only place that they have stability in their lives. So what we can do is to help them use these tools and become self-regulated to see that they too have the capacity to get an education and to go forward and to live a life that they love to live.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that sounds really fantastic. So do you do any traveling around to different school systems to speak to the teachers, or are you working one-on-one mostly?
A little bit of both. I work with staff, a whole staff of a school, or sometimes I do large conferences where I can talk to a broader number of teachers from different areas and different subject areas. It varies depending on what it is that people really make available to me. But I'm very open and receptive for whatever comes along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I used to do a little bit of studying in psychology. And do you know that marshmallow study with the young kids? You do know that? So does that relate to resilience?
I think in a way, yes, it does, because I think that's about delayed gratification. Sort of a behavior modification approach, and that certainly, in a way, when you talk about being self-regulated, it's knowing that you can choose whatever emotion you want at any given time. Mm-hmm. And to a certain extent, I think that's what the marshmallow study was about: was a kid knowing that he didn't have to eat the marshmallow right now. He could wait and do it later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of links to that study and success in later life when kids do that at a young age. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know, and this is a real sidelight, but I have twin grandsons who are 10 years old now, but they were probably about 3 or 4 at the time that I found out about that study, and so I've played around with it a little bit with them, and one of them is definitely not able to wait. You know, it's very instant gratification, and the other one is the opposite. And it's been interesting to watch him over these years as he's grown up, and see how that shows up a lot in his behavior. And so I can, I totally believe that, but it's really interesting to know that a person like him could be taught resiliency skills that could make a big difference. And so when you go into the schools and you're able to have the teachers, you know how to interact with kids like that, it should be able to transform what happens in their future, right?
Yeah. I'm currently working with a high school senior, an incoming senior. And interestingly enough, it was his grandmother who wanted me to work with him. And so what we do is just talk about building. It's a program that's built just for high school kids. So it's got a lot of information in it about the way our brain works and how sometimes the part of our brain called the amygdala will actually kidnap or hijack our neocortex, which is the thinking part of our brain. And it's just helping kids see that they have choices about when they want to get emotional. Now, in this case, he's a high school senior, so we're talking about getting ready for college and courses and not being afraid of the math tests when it comes and some things like that that are age appropriate to him. If I were talking to a younger child, I might be talking about the playground. And there's no need to get in a fight on the playground because it doesn't help anything and you just get in trouble. And there are other ways you can stay calm. And we teach kids breathing techniques so they can stay calm in the midst of those situations that they normally might get explosive in.
Well, our grandson is more like if he doesn't get his way, you know, because there's three boys in this family, an older brother and then the two twins. And if he doesn't get his way, then he has to pout and cry a little bit, you know, even at 10 years old. And so it is just like learning how to cope with that kind of thing. So how young do you take them?
Well, I've worked in kindergarten classrooms recently. And when I had my preschool, we would talk about it with puppets. So it just you have to think of the age of the child and what it is they understand, and how at that when the kids are 3-4 years old, puppets are really really a great way to teach what a feeling is and what an emotion is, and your vocabulary would be different depending on the age of the child.
Right.
Now, this man, this young man who's going to be a senior in high school, is really interested in some of the neuroplasticity vocabulary. So we're talking about cortical inhibition. That's one of the terms. When your brain stops your thinking brain, when your feeling brain stops your thinking brain from actually thinking, it's cortical inhibition. And cortical facilitation is when you open up your capacity to think by not being so stressed out, and it's all done with breathing. And I have games, video games that he plays, and I loaned him one of my devices for biofeedback so he can get the feeling inside of his body, what it's like when you're calm and how easily you can think creatively when you're calm.
That sounds so interesting. And you're a heart math certified person, aren't you?
Yes, I am. When I just said, when I was talking about the biofeedback and the video games, that's all HeartMath produced. They have some fabulous ways of helping people lead a stress-free life.
I really love their programs. That's very cool. Well, you know, it's been so much fun talking to you about what you're up to. I really think that is so impactful in the world. So good for you.
So well, I'm having a ball.
Things
are fun right now.
That's the best part.
Yes, it is.
So one of the things that I always ask everybody that comes on here is if you meet someone or you have a new client and you kind of know right away that they're going to be successful, are there three traits you could identify that you notice in people that you feel like will be the right things to have to carry on to be really successful in life?
I think curiosity is one thing that really helps us be successful in life. I suppose openness to new ideas would be another, that because we just all, life is so unpredictable, and it's so good when you're open and receptive to new ways of looking at things. That really helps. A willingness to stay positive about whatever is going on in their lives, to see that it can lead to something better if it's not what they want, that they have the ability, the wherewithal to change the course of their life.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, so those are three good ones. Thank you. So, okay. Penny, why don't you tell us what the best way for people to reach you would be?
Through my website, docpennykowal.com, and there's always a way to contact me through there. I think that would be the best way right now.
Okay, fabulous. And so I just want to thank you again for being on the podcast with me. It was a delight to talk to you, and I think that people will get lots of great information from listening. So thank you.
Oh, you're most welcome. This was really fun, Pat.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Soar to Success podcast. For more insights into growing your business or improving your quality of life, visit SoarToSuccessMagazine.com and subscribe to the Soar to Success podcast on iTunes.